Chapter 19. The first thing we did was to try to find a way down into the building. I figured if we could get inside, we'd be safe because the building was full of NARB. As non-combatant aliens, no one was allowed to fight in their presence and risk injuring them. That was against galactic law. Unfortunately, we ran into a problem immediately. There was no way into the building from the roof.
"Any human would have put at least a hatch on this roof," complained Carlos.
I had to agree with him. I'd had more than my fill of cultural differences for the day. "We have to find a way down or we'll be pinned up here and they'll come kill us eventually." In the end, it took some risky behavior to find the way down. Instead of ladders or internal stairways, the Saurians had built an external set of steep stairs that went down one side of the structure. The stairs were exposed and there wasn't even a guardrail. Carlos and I looked at one another. I knew what we were both thinking. Did we run down those stairs, risking annihilation? Or did we lay on the rooftop and hope our side won the battle?
"I guess we have to do what we can, sniping from up here," Carlos said.
I shook my head. "Sniping isn't enough. We can't get through their armor without focused fire."
"What do you suggest?" he asked suspiciously.
"People are dying down there."
"Yeah, and we're probably going to die up here, too."
"We have to go for it," I told him. I got up and set myself like a runner prepping for a sprint. My side hurt, my head hurt, and even my eyes seemed to ache in my skull. Groaning, Carlos heaved himself into a crouch at my side.
"This is crazy. We don't even know if there is a way in at the bottom of the stairs. I mean, don't you think they probably locked all the doors by now?"
"I don't know," I said. "But I'm not sunbathing up here while these lizards kill two cohorts of light troops."
"Why not?"
That was the last thing either of us said. Our conversation was interrupted by a sniping sound. We didn't even have time to throw ourselves flat. An energy-charged mortar shell came down on the top of the building. Some of the weaponeers supporting our light troops must have gotten into position. The building shook under us.
"They're crazy!" shouted Carlos. "If they kill one of the NARBs, we'll all be in trouble."
Another singing sound came, and the building shook again.
"Look!"
Carlos said, pointing across the expanse of the roof. We saw the shell had punched a burning hole through the roof. Without another word, we got up and ran to it, jumping blindly into the black, smoking hole. Anything was better than waiting around on the roof or charging down the exposed stairway. We came down on a dusty floor lined with offices. It appeared to be deserted. There were pod-like desks and seats that looked like blobs of paint. I landed on one of these and my boots punctured it. I learned that the formless blob was indeed full of colored liquid. I guess that was a comfortable seat for a NARB. The important thing was we didn't see any enemies. We looked, but there weren't any stairways on this level either.
"Are we going outside to run down or are we going to dig through the floor?"
Carlos asked me.
"There has to be something," I said.
I found it pretty fast. A trap door that led down to the next level. We dropped through and found another trap door. Carlos followed me, complaining every step of the way. When we reached the bottom floor, we found the bureaucrats who'd abandoned their desks in panic. Startled-looking NARBs huddled down there. And as one, they turned to look at us in surprise. I'd seen pictures, but had never met up with them personally. They had bulbous faces the color and consistency of thick green pea soup inside of a water balloon. To me, the aliens resembled their chairs. They looked like beached seals. They all began squawking at once in their own language when they realized who we were. I'm sure if I could have understood them, I'd feel insulted. As it was, I ignored them and pushed through the mass of their bodies to the doors. The doors weren't your typical affair from Earth. There was no automatic swishing sound or obvious pad to put your hand on. Instead, I was confronted with a bank of large rods in various positions. I figured they were switches of some kind, as they could be moved up and down in various directions. But which way to move them? Carlos followed me, bumping through the crowd of angry NARBs.
"Do these guys bite?"
he asked.
"Only your bank account. Come here and help me get this open."
You're nuts, you know that? Why do you want to open the doors? The Saurian guards will murder us.
I'm not trying to open the door. I'm trying to open the big gates outside. I want to let our troops inside the walls.
All the while we talked, I worked various levers experimentally. I tried them one at a time. Most seemed to do nothing, while a few caused the sounds of grinding machinery to start up, then stop.
Carlos ignored me. He walked over to a box on one of the Narb's desk. He adjusted it, and suddenly sound poured forth. The sound turned into an incomprehensible babble of angry voices.
"It's a translator unit," he said. "I'm trying to dial it for Earthers."
Seeing what he was doing, a small Narb with a band around its neck waddled forward and nosed the device. Large yellow teeth snapped at Carlos's hands, and he pulled them away quickly. The Narb worked at the device, making careful choices.
"Do you understand this, barbarian?"
the box asked.
"Ah, yes," Carlos said. "It works."
"Excellent. You have accrued 7 criminal charges since you entered my awareness. I order you to perform self-execution."
That made us look up. The Narb had our full attention. The Narbs didn't make idle threats or demands. They were as unpleasant in personality as they were in appearance, but they followed rules to the letter. This concerned me, because as far as I could tell, we hadn't done anything yet to warrant execution.
"Self-execution? On what grounds?"
I asked the blob.
"Your attack upon this facility was monitored, as was everything you've done since arriving here on Cancri 9. Damaging this property is not in your contract. You have violated galactic law through willful breach of contract."
I looked at Carlos, and he looked back at me. Our visors were clear now that we were inside and the blinding light of Cancri's suns wasn't burning overhead. I could see that Carlos was as worried as I was. Trade contracts were more important than any other element of galactic law. They took it very seriously, as the entire fabric of their empire was based upon it.
"We're not aware of any violation," I said angrily.
Carlos lifted his hand and waved urgently for me to stop talking. I fell quiet, wondering if he knew how to handle these beings. I noticed the Narbs had shut up, too. They were no longer a pack of barking seals. Instead, they were a quiet, vengeful group that stared in eager anticipation.
"You have not performed as ordered," said the Narb. "Refusal to comply is an additional crime. Penalties may be elevated if you continue to resist."
I wasn't too worried about elevated penalties, as I was already up for self-execution. How were things going to get any worse? But then I reminded myself that things could get worse. Our unit, our legion, our ship, even our race could be penalized if the crime was big enough.
"What violation has been performed?"
Carlos asked. His usual joking tone was absent.
"Do you refuse to comply?"
"No," he said firmly. "I do not refuse to comply. I'm requesting clarification."
"This is permissible to a point," said the Narb. "Your contract strictly forbids the use of aircraft during this campaign. That stipulation has been violated."
"Aircraft?" I asked, interrupting. "Are you talking about the air car we used to come here? That isn't Earth equipment. It doesn't count."
Again, Carlos waved for me to be quiet.
"High Justice," Carlos said. "I'm sorry if there has been a misunderstanding, but no aircraft have been brought from our world to this world."
"That is not germane to the violation. Aircraft were used in this conflict."
"What proof do you have of this?"
"Your presence in this compound proves the violation. I don't see why you are bothering to evade my edict. It is valid, and delaying the order to self-execute will only worsen the violation."
I didn't see what the hurry was, but then I'm not a Narb.
"Not if the violation is an error,"
Carlos said confidently. I'm attempting to determine whether or not the order is valid before it is followed.